So good morning again. It is truly a privilege to be in front of you all again. This is the third out of 4 weeks, the past 4 weeks, that I've had the opportunity to speak to you this morning. And while these sermons, these three sermons, are not exactly a sermon series in the way that Randy does them, they do kind of go together in a way. So look for those little connections. Hopefully, some of you at least, will remember 3 weeks ago when we talked about what difference does it make, right? We talked about what difference our faith makes to us as children of God. And what I told you was what I came across was that it was about hope, right? If you remember? It was about the hope. Hope that we have as followers of Christ, not just for life eternal and after we die, but life here, that God uses all things for the good of those who love Him here on earth during this life, and we have a hope in that. Last week, we talked about the book of Philemon. I was corrected by only 20 or so people who said, isn't it Philemon, or isn't it Philemon, or isn't it Philemon, or isn't it Phil? Okay, you could say it whatever way you want to say it. I don't really care as long as you read the book. But the majority rules most of the time, so I'm going to today say Philemon. Okay, so we talked last week about Philemon and about the three key characteristics of a Christian life, right? We talked about self-sacrifice for others. We talked about trusting and enabling and encouraging others to trust in the atonement that's been made, that's being offered for us. And we talked about forgiveness and love for those who have wronged us. This week, I want to talk about the lost and found. You probably picked up on that from Cody. In this reading, we find ourselves with Jesus, as he tends to do. He walks around a lot, and in this case, he's still walking around a lot. And as he's walking around a lot, he is encountering people who are coming out of their homes and coming out of the synagogues and coming in and trying to talk to him and learn from him and listen to what he has to say. They're coming out to be healed by him. So everywhere he's going, people are coming out. Now, many of the people that come out to see him are, as far as society's standards go, perfectly fine. They do their best to follow the law. They don't go out of the house on the Sabbath, that kind of stuff. But there's a lot of folks that are coming out to see him who the establishment refers to as sinners, and specifically tax collectors. Now, tax collectors back then, just so you know, are not like our IRS agents. They're a little like our IRS. If anybody here works for the IRS, I apologize. They're a little. No, but the tax collectors back then were assigned this job by the authorities, the Roman authorities, to collect taxes from the Jewish people and then give them to the Romans. Now, what was happening was that they were also collecting a little more than what was really owed, and they would pocket the difference. So it was bad enough that they were collecting taxes on behalf of this occupying force, but they were in effect using their power and authority to steal from their own people. And so they really were seen in a very poor light. Nobody cared for those folks. Now, tagging along behind Jesus and his followers was this group of Pharisees and scribes. And the Pharisees and scribes were following along, not really to learn from Jesus, but to try to catch him in doing something that was against the law, or at least their interpretation of the law. So they were always trying to nitpick every little thing that Jesus did, and they would call him on it every once in a while. And in the story that we're going to hear today, The Pharisees are a little bit concerned about the type of people that Jesus is associating with. Okay? And they're not just concerned about the people that he's associating with, but they're concerned that he's not concerned. Okay? So that's where we find our scripture reading today. Now, Jesus hears them grumbling. He hears the muttering in the background, and he responds to that with three parables. Now, we're only going to read two today. The third one is the parable of the prodigal son, which you heard recently from Randy, and we preach on it every year during Lent. But I want to focus in today on the first two that he brings up. So we're going to turn to the book of Luke, Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, and hear these words. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So in the first parable, the shepherd goes, and he finds the lost sheep and rejoices. And when he gets home, he calls his friends to come and celebrate. And then Jesus makes the comparison of that celebration to what happens in heaven when a sinner repents. And then he tells the story of the lady who drops everything and searches unceasingly until that coin is found. And she too calls her friends to come celebrate. And Jesus again makes the connection that this joy is like the joy in heaven when one sinner repents. In both of these stories, the joy in heaven comes when the lost becomes the found. Knowing that Jesus is God, we can clearly read this story as an explanation of Jesus' motivations for eating with the unclean, with the sinners. And throughout all his travels, Jesus was like the shepherd who was trying to find the lost sheep. And Jesus wasn't just interested in preaching to them, although that was important, but he wanted to sit down with them and get to know them and eat with them and help them to understand that they matter. Help them to understand that they were loved. And when he finds them, he's filled with joy. So the question this morning, if that's a pretty evident explanation, is what does this message mean to us today? How is it going to impact our life and how we live today? What do we hear in this passage that helps us to better understand God's expectation? Well, first, we can see in this passage encouragement in our own journey. We've all sinned. Well, I shouldn't presume. Anybody here a sinner? Anybody? I probably should have asked the other way. Anybody here not a sinner? Raise your hand if you're not a sinner. Nobody? Smart. Very good. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's will for us. We've all fallen short of the way we should be. We've let our pride get in the way. We've come to understand that we know best, right? Well, I generally know best. Don't you? Oop, ding, there's another sin. Okay. But it's incredible and it's wonderful to hear that every time we sin, we can turn around and we will be welcomed back into God's fold. We get to repent. And it's not just a one-time and forever problem. And however many times it happens, God rejoices. There is joy in heaven when we turn around. Now, second, along with that encouragement, we see a warning. And this is important. We need to notice the contrast that Jesus is making between the Pharisees and the sinners. You see, the Pharisees think that they're on the inside, and those people are on the outside. See, the Pharisees think that Jesus is this guy who's trying to get us to change how we do church and do it something different than the way we've always done it. And Jesus is trying to get the Pharisees to welcome those people. And the Pharisees don't want anything to do with it. So there's a warning in this message. What the Pharisees didn't want to hear was that that one lost sheep has the same value as each one of the 99 that wasn't lost. What the Pharisees didn't want to hear is that one lost coin had the same value as the other nine who were not lost. The only difference is that one was lost and the rest weren't. Has anybody ever had a child get lost in the store or in the mall? Anybody ever experienced that? And if you've got more than one child, you kind of probably understand what I'm talking about when one child wanders off and gets lost in the store, but the other one's still right here by your side. Usually it's the firstborn that walks right along with you, and the middle child or the youngest goes off and does their own thing, right? And you panic a little bit. Your heart starts racing, and you know that you have to find your child. And so you run around, you grab this one, and you pull them around, and you finally your child, and you rejoice, and you grab the child, and you say, "Why did you do that?" And then you hug them, and you kiss them, and this one that's always been with you doesn't get any of that, does he or she? What does that mean, that you love this child anymore or this child any less? No, of course not. You can imagine the scenario, though, in relation to God and the joy that would come when this child that was lost becomes found. And I know we don't always equate the lost people with lost children, but that's exactly what they are. They're God's children who have somehow wandered off. And however big a mess they make, God wants to rejoice when they're found. And that brings me to the third thing, that we can read into this passage a calling for all of us. As I mentioned, Jesus knew where he was going. He wandered a lot. And back in Luke 10, just before this, we see Jesus sending out the 70, okay? And they go out in pairs. And he says to go to all these towns that we're going to go to, and I want you to go to those towns and tell people that I'm coming. First, though, you offer them peace. And then you heal the sick. You take care of the needy. And you tell them that the kingdom of God is at hand. So their job was to go ahead. They were the advance team, and they went ahead and shared the good news. That's our calling. We are the 70. Now, I know a lot of you get a little uneasy whenever anybody starts talking about evangelism. Oh, I don't want to talk about Jesus. That's your job. Okay? I understand that nervousness. Trust me, I do. I get it. Okay? But what I need you to understand is it's not your job to convince anybody of anything. All you have to do, just like the 70, share peace. Take care of the needy and the sick. Proclaim the kingdom of God as it's affected your life. And then say, come and see. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change hearts. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convince somebody of the truth. It's not yours. So don't be so scared about it. Rely on God. Rely on the Holy Spirit. All you have to do is say, come and see. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. In the town of Parker, we have a population of 45 to 50,000 people. There are thousands of people in your backyard that are lost. They're lost because they're suffering from addiction to alcohol or drugs or to whatever. They're lost because they're cheating on their wives or their husbands because they somehow need some sort of fulfillment. They're lost because they refuse to acknowledge the presence of God, the existence of God, not just Methodism. They're lost. And there are children lost in this community trying to find purpose to their lives. We are the 70. And it's our job to be the advance team. If God loves those people as much as he loves us, shouldn't we share the reason for our hope? Penn and Teller, you know the comedy team, Penn and Teller? There's a video I saw of him, Penn Jillette, and he's talking about this guy who comes up to him after his show and gives him a Bible and wants to talk to him. And now Penn Jillette is an atheist. He's pretty sure about that there's no God. But he talks about the love that this man must have for him to want to share this. He talks about the love that if somebody's standing in the middle of the street and a truck is coming at him, eventually you get him out of the way. And that's what we're talking about. Shouldn't we love them enough to share our story? To maybe change a life? To show that we care about them? If we can stand up and truly be what we are being called to be, we can be the cause of a celebration in heaven. We can be the cause, the first step in bringing joy to God. Shouldn't we? Amen. Last week we sang my favorite.